One of the revolutions in our society and in our culture over the last 20 years has been the rise of the coffee shop. You can't help but fail to notice this. If you live in Andover, you can't help but fail to notice that whilst in our town centre, other shops sadly are closing and moving out and are boarded up. There are, well, it feels like hundreds of coffee shops in Andover town centre. They feel like they are thriving. And this has been something that's taken place right across our country and actually across much of the world over the last 20 years or so. And at the forefront of that revolution has been Starbucks. And the Starbucks story is a really interesting one. Started in 1971 in Seattle, on the west coast of the United States. One shop, one coffee shop. And in 1981, they were joined by a guy called Howard Schultz, who was kind of a marketing guy. And he wanted to go and work with Starbucks, and he had great plans and ambitions for them. He went on a trip to Italy whilst he was working as a buyer for Starbucks, and he went to find new kinds of coffee to bring back to this coffee shop in Seattle. And whilst he was in Italy, he noticed something really interesting. He noticed that many Italian towns and cities were full of cafes down each street and in the town centre and so on. But he noticed that those cafes were more than just a place where you got coffee. They were like a community hub. They were a meeting place. They were where people would gather and people would get together and they'd see each other and they'd enjoy being together and all that kind of stuff. And he was really taken by this idea. And he took it back to the States with him. And he said to those who were running the one Starbucks coffee shop at the time, that's what we need to be. We need to have a vision that this is about more than coffee, that this is about community and connection. Well, the story goes on, and it didn't happen straight away, but eventually Howard Schultz became the CEO of Starbucks and actually owned much of the Starbucks company. And over the next few years, through to 2019, the Starbucks brand grew such that there are close to 31,000 Starbucks coffee shops now all over the world. But still they have that core vision for providing a place not just for coffee, but a place for community and connection. I thought it was really interesting what Ron said in that interview earlier on this morning, that a place like Rosebourne that's opened, a garden centre that's opened, a cafe, has come with the same kind. We are more than just a restaurant. We want to be a meeting place, a gathering place, and they've empowered their staff to make it about community. What Schultz has discovered, what the folks at Rosebourne have discovered, what Starbucks have discovered over the years, is what God has always known. It always makes me smile when we discover these things. I read Howard Schultz's book, which is cunningly titled, Pour Your Heart Into It. And he expands on a lot of these ideas in his book. But what he discovered and what Starbucks discovered and what Rosebourne is discovering is what God has always known, which is that life is better connected. Life is better connected. Howard Schultz said this about Starbucks. He said, whilst we are a coffee company at heart, Starbucks provides much more than the best cup of coffee. We offer a community gathering place where people come together to connect and discover new things. It always makes me laugh when we human beings who were a bit slow on the uptake discover this, as I said earlier, the thing that God has always known. That we are better when we are in community. We are better when we are connected. Life is better when we are connected. And that shouldn't surprise us. Those of us who know a little bit about God, that shouldn't surprise us, because God exists as a community. God exists, we sometimes use this phrase, the Trinity. God exists as Father, Son, and Spirit, three persons in a relationship together. So at the very heart of God, there is community. And human beings, we believe, are created in the image of God. Therefore, we're made for community. We need community. Life is better connected. Interestingly, in his book, Schultz also talks about sort of three principles of community, if you like. Three sort of things that will help a community grow and flourish. He says this, we should dream more than others think possible, care more than others think wise, and risk more than others think safe. And again, he might not identify this as such, but I think those are incredibly godly principles. And over the next few weeks, we're going to unpack each of those, but actually we wanted a four-week series, so we've added a fourth of our own to this. And it's this one, love more than others think reasonable. We think if we're going to discover great community, We need to dream more than others think possible, care more than others think wise, risk more than others think safe, and love more than others think reasonable. And we want, as a church, to have great community. We love that we're in a large church. Over 600 people now call Andover Baptist Church their church family, their church home. And it's great to be part of a large and thriving and growing church like that. But one of the downsides of a large and thriving and growing church is it can be quite difficult to connect beyond a Sunday because we kind of pass like ships in the night. That's why community in a church like this is so important. That's why we want to work harder and do better at providing opportunities for people to be in more intimate community than they can experience here on a Sunday. Sundays are great. I love Sundays. But there's more. It's not all that there is. And we've recognized over the last few years we need to do more work in this area as a church, and we're doing it right now. And we're really hoping and praying that come Easter, just after Easter, we'll have a whole new thing to talk to you about where we can encourage more and more people into different kinds of community groups, the sort of thing we heard about at the beginning of our service. But today, I want to talk about this first principle, dreaming more than others think possible. Dreaming more than others think possible. You know, as we get older, neuroscience, scans of the brain tell us that as we get older, our thinking, the use of our brain shifts from the right side of our brain to the left side of our brain. We start to use the left side more. Well, the right side of our brain is that creative imaginary side where we dream dreams, we think about things that could possibly be, and we have often big dreams. The left side of our brain is a sort of rational, logical, thinking, memory-based part of our brain. And what that means is there can be a tendency in us, if we're not careful, that as we get older, we stop dreaming and start thinking about the past. And we start to think about the future only on the basis of what's happened to us in the past. And of course, nostalgia and memories are a great thing. It's great to look back on the past, isn't it, and see great things and great photos and, you know, all of that kind of stuff. But it can also be dangerous because it can stop us pushing into the new thing that may be just around the corner in our future. And instead of dreaming, we can start to resort back to what's already taken place. Young people are great dreamers, aren't they? And I just want to say, if you're a young person here with us today, you have much to teach us. This is one of the reasons why it's so great that you're around with us, and we want to listen to you and learn from you and be with you, because you will dream dreams. And sometimes those of us who are older might touch you for your dreams and might say, well, that's completely unrealistic. But actually, you have much to teach us and energize us with about dreams for the future. When it comes to God, if we always resort to the past, it will restrict what God can and will do through us in the future. And maybe your past experiences of God and of church, you would say they haven't been good. Maybe you've come to a church service once in a blue moon and you've gone away more miserable than when you arrived. Maybe you've experienced Christians who you feel have judged or condemned you. Maybe you've had a bad experience in the past where people have hurt you. Or maybe something's happened in your life and it's caused you to think, if there is a God, how can that possibly happen? How can he possibly let that happen? And so your past experience is determining your future. And you may be restricting what God could do because of your past experiences. And yet you are here because maybe there's still a part of you that longs for something more, or feels that there should be something more, and you want to explore God again. Well, we're so glad that you're here, and we hope that this will be a positive experience for you, and we can begin the journey with you of finding what God has for you in the future. Or maybe you're a Jesus follower. Maybe you're already a Jesus follower, but if you're really honest, you'd have to say you're living on past glories. Your faith is just a shadow of what it used to be. When was the last time you heard God speak to you? When was the last time God did something significant through you? When was the last time you took a step of faith and God came through? When was the last time you served somebody and God did something extraordinary? Maybe that hasn't happened to you in a while. And maybe you're living on those past glories and your faith is a shadow of what it was, and you wonder what could be in the future, and you're allowing your past experience to restrict what might happen in the future. The ancient Hebrew prophet Joel, writing somewhere around about 700 BC, He said this, he said, when God sends his presence, when God sends his spirit, people will start to dream of what could be. People will start to hear God speak about what might be in the future, prophesy. People will get visions and dreams of what God might do. The problem is that many of us have had our dreams and our visions crushed in the past by other people or because they haven't worked out as we hoped they would. And slowly, bit by bit, our capacity to dream has become eroded because our dreams and visions have been crushed. Or maybe other people have been cynical about our dreams, or maybe we've become cynical about our dreams. Last week, if you were here, I shared some hopes and dreams for what could be for our church in the future. We started imagining what might happen. And, you know, it's possible when we hear those kind of things for us to generate a cynical response. I do this myself. I just want to say, by the way, loads of you got in touch with me and said how helpful it had been, so I'm not suggesting for a minute that was any of us. But it can be possible for us to become cynical about that. Oh, we've heard all this before. Even, you know, I was thinking as I was preparing and sharing some of those dreams last week, what happens if this never happens? How stupid am I going to look? And it become easy to say, I'm not even going to talk about that, because I'm worried about looking silly, and I can get cynical about that. The problem is that being cynical is really bad for us, and it's not just about those kind of things. It might be about anything. I read this thing this week, and it caused me to research, because it's the sort of thing preachers say as a throwaway line. They say, and I was reading this, that actually there's loads of medical studies that show that cynicism is bad for your health. And I thought, yeah, that's the kind of thing that preachers would say. Is there actually any evidence for that? Well, I looked it up. And I found in a journal called Psychology Today, so serious journal, they reference in one article three separate studies that talk about the negative effects on our health of cynicism. And these are all from serious reputable sources. A 2009 study found that cynicism places women at a greater risk of developing heart disease. A 2010 study concluded that hostility and cynicism were often associated with inflammation in the body. And a 2014 study linked cynicism with a higher risk of developing dementia. Cynicism, being skeptical, doing down other people's dreams, it can, being suspicious, can have serious health issues. And of course, it's what God's always known, because God wants to inspire us to hope and to dream, not to cynicism. I believe that dreams are good, because I believe that dreams can hope and can bring hope and bring encouragement. And by the way, if you have a big dream and you only get 20% of the way there, you're still 20% further on than somebody who never dreamt at all. Dreams are good. And I wonder if you dream of those kind of things. I wonder if you dream of intimacy with God. I wonder if you dream of community. I wonder if you dream about dreaming with other people. Because, you know, dreaming is good, but spirit-fueled dreams is even better. God's spirit-fueled dreams, even better. Dreams are good, but dreams dreamt in the context of community, fueled by the Spirit of God, are even better again. I wonder if you dream of those kind of things. I wonder if you can dream more than others think is possible. And if you're perhaps in that place where you think, well, I'm not doing that very well, how can we do that again? How can we stop living on past glories and hope for what might be in the future? How can we do that? Well, we're going to use a passage from the Bible, from the New Testament part of the Bible, from a letter a guy called Paul wrote, who's the first follower of Jesus, to some people in a place called Ephesus. And it's exactly the same passage, if you were here last week, I used last week. And I just want to be utterly transparent about this to avoid any kind of cynicism at all. Yes, I did forget when I was preparing for last week that I was going to be speaking on this week too. I did forget when I was picking last week's passage that I was due to speak on it this week. But if you were here, you remember last week I said, there is so much in this passage that we could talk about. Well, good news, we're going to talk about it again. So let's look together at Ephesians chapter 3, Paul's letter to the Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. It's going to be on the screens. You can open it in your Bibles if you've got a Bible. You can look on the YouVersion Bible app for today's live YouVersion event for Andover Baptist Church, and you'll see it there. Or you can just listen as I read it. It says this, Paul says, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Now that's from the New International Version, translation of the Bible. I also want to read the same passage to you from a paraphrase version of the Bible that's called The Message. It's not supposed to be a direct translation, but it does give us some idea of some of the meaning in this text. And I want to read to you from that version too, these same verses. It says this: my response is to get down on my knees before the Father, this magnificent Father who parcels out all heaven and earth. I ask him to strengthen you by his Spirit, not a brute strength, but a glorious inner strength, that Christ will live in you as you open the door and invite him in. And I ask that with both feet firmly planted on love, you'll be able to take in with all followers of Jesus the extravagant dimensions of Christ's love. Reach out and experience the breadth, test its length, plumb the depths, rise to the heights, live full lives, full in the fullness of God. God can do anything, you know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us, his Spirit deeply and gently within us. So I think these passages, they give us three steps, I think, to dreaming again. Three steps to dreaming in the context of community. Here's the first one. Open the door and invite Jesus in. Open the door and invite Jesus in. Because you see, God's love and Jesus' love is so great that they will not force themselves upon us. We have to open the door and invite them in. Invite Jesus in. And the first step to dreaming again is to constantly invite Jesus to be in our lives, to be at work in our lives. Maybe for the first time, if you're exploring faith, open the door and invite him in. Maybe if you've been a Christian a while, you need to remember that we should be doing this on a daily basis. I want to encourage you, the first thing that you do when you wake up in the morning is to invite Jesus to be in your life that day, this day. To say, I want to do life with you today. Will you come in and be a part of my life? Spot Jesus at work in your day, all around, in all the things. If you've been around ABC for a little while, you know we did a series some time ago called Toward Wonder. And we were encouraging people to look and see the wonders of God that are all around us. If you weren't here, I'm sure it's on the website. You can go and check it out and listen to it. But just that encouragement to see Jesus at work all around us, to spot him. And by the way, even better, invite Jesus in the context of community. When you meet in a small group or you meet with other people, just ask the question, where has Jesus been at work in your life this week, this day? And if you're exploring faith, one of the best contexts to do that in is a thing we call Alpha. It's a course where we gather together in community around great food and we talk about God and we talk about faith and we talk about Jesus and we invite him in. And we'll be running Alpha again after Easter here at ABC. It's a great opportunity to explore faith with others, to invite Jesus in. Second step, experience his love. I love this message paraphrase. It says, may we be able to take in with all the followers of Jesus the extravagant dimensions of Jesus' love. Reach out and experience the breadth. Experience the extravagant dimensions of Jesus' love. Plumb the depths, test the heights. Experience his love when life is at its best and when all is flying high. Experience his love when life is at its worst and you are plumbing the depths. Because life with God in the highs and the lows is so much better than life without. Even in the most awful of times, it's still better to have God than not. Sometimes people say to me when I'm going through a tough time or when people go, how can you possibly believe in God when you're going through this awful experience in your life? And I want to say, how can you possibly not? Because what do you do then? Now, I may have loads of questions about God in those times, and I think all of us do, and lots of doubts. You know, where is God? What's he doing? Why aren't you fixing this? I have all those questions, but I still have God, and I still have somebody to ask. And when you're standing on top of a mountain, looking at a glorious view, who do you thank for that if there's no God in your life? Who do you talk to about that if there's no God in your life? Who do you turn to when it's awesome and when you're just glad to be alive? So, second step, experience God's love. Third and final step, don't limit your dreams. I love again this translation. God can do anything, you know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. Don't limit your dreams. Trust him for something big. You know, this can be really difficult, particularly when you feel like you've done this before. And some of you may be going through this right now. You've trusted God for something big, or you're trying to trust God for something big, and it's not happening, and he's not coming through. And that can really damage your ability to do this again in the future. Or maybe you've had that experience in the past. You think, I dreamt this dream, and God didn't feel like God came through. So I'm not really sure I want to go there again. I want to trust him again. I was really touched. We have been supporting a family as a church for many years called the Judkins family. Dave and Claire Lees, many of you know them much better than me. But we had them back here 10 days ago as they were wrapping up. They've been in France, and they're wrapping that up, and they're going on to different things. And Dave was just sharing with us their story. And he was telling us when they first went to France, they had huge dreams of what God was going to do. They're going to take the south of France by storm. They were going to plant loads of churches, and it was going to be amazing. They had this big dream of what God would do. And it didn't quite work out like that. And Dave was just being really honest with us and saying, it didn't work out like that. We didn't see God do the things that we hoped he would do. But as we were talking, and as he was talking, and as we were praying with him, what we realized is that God still did loads of stuff, just not what they'd imagined. You know, it can be hard, can't it, when you say, well, God can do more than we can possibly imagine. And you say, well, God, you didn't even do what I did imagine, even a fraction of it. But maybe God is doing something different than what we imagined, and that's the more. And God was doing some amazing things through them, and God was giving them lessons and stuff, which I think, and we prayed about, being really significant, not just for them, but for churches all across this land in the future. See, God may well have done more than they imagined, just not what they imagined. And that's still possible. You know, if you step out and your dreams don't turn out the way you imagined, it doesn't mean God wasn't in it. It just means God might have been doing something different. And just because you stepped out doesn't mean you had the wrong idea. God may have wanted you to step out and do that so he could do the other stuff. So God is still in it. God can still use it. And actually, hear this. This really struck me from this passage, reading it in both the Message and in the New International Version. And it strikes me from what Joel prophesied about when the Spirit of God comes. Dreaming dreams and having visions is evidence of the Spirit of God at work in us. Dreaming dreams and having visions is evidence of the Spirit of God at work in us. So if you're dreaming dreams, be encouraged. It's God. It's God's Spirit at work in you. And a Spirit-fueled dream is a God-given gift. And it might not turn out like we thought it would. But God can do something anyway through it. So three steps to dreaming again. Invite him in. Experience his love, and don't limit your dreams. And you know, community helps with all of those. Being in community helps with all of those. Being in a small group or being with a bunch of other people is just the best way to dream. It's the best way to share what your dreams are and have other people pray and cheer you on in them. It's the best way to invite God to be a part of your life. It's the best way to experience God's love in the highs and the lows and sharing them with other people and doing life together. I want to talk, as I finish, about some next steps we might take to help us with each of those things we've talked about this morning, to help us become people who dream again and who are Spirit-inspired in the visions that we have. If you're exploring faith, we've already talked about it, Alpha is just a great way to be in community and to explore Jesus and to find out more about him and to find out if you want to follow him with your life in a no-pressure, low-key, warm, welcoming and inviting environment. We would love to talk to you about Alpha. We'd love to tell you the dates we have in mind post-Easter for Alpha. I encourage you, if you're exploring faith or you're beginning to connect with the church, the welcome lunch, another great way just to begin to get in community. And following that, Ruth, my wife and I, we host in our home a 2-session course called Discovering ABC, where we just talk about our dreams for the church and what we believe God is calling us to. And it just introduces you to the church and who everybody is and what we do and why we do what we do and that kind of stuff. And one of the things we love about Discovering ABC is we gather all these new people together in our home, and very few of them know each other when they first come together. But what we love is over the couple of weeks we're together, they start to get to know each other. And then we love it when we see them chatting together on a Sunday morning or a Sunday evening when we're here. Because it's just a way to begin to get to know some other people. And in this big crowd, to be able to spot some faces that you know and you've met and you've had a coffee with in our home. So Discovering ABC, great way to take a next step into community. Our small groups, and particularly, as I said, post-Easter, we're going to be launching a whole new way of doing that, and we'd love for you to be part of a small group. But if you can't wait, don't wait. Just find some people and say, can we meet for a coffee? Just do what Ron and Dickie did, and just start. That would be great. And if you want to be a part of a group, we do have a lot of groups that are going on that we can steer you in the direction of. And course nights, we've talked about them in our notices this morning. Another great way just to begin to learn, particularly if you're thinking about connecting, partnering, and leading more deeply with us here at ABC, come to course nights. Come to those serving training days, because we'll just have the opportunity to get to know, but we will have such fun on the tech team training day, I promise you. And we're going to eat pizza and it's going to be great. Just another great way to begin to connect with people and begin to see what God might do in and through you. And then a couple of books, one I've read, one I haven't read. So The Way of the Warrior by Erma McManus is a book I read over the Christmas period. Just a great book about finding peace with God and finding peace in your spirit because of a relationship with God. But it talks a lot about community and about being with others and about dreams and all that kind of stuff. The Way of the Warrior by Erma McManus. Easy read. And if you're not a reader, Audible books. It's available on Audible and you can get it that way. One I haven't read but I've bought and I'm going to read is called The Circle Maker by Mark Batterson. And I'm going to read it over the next couple of weeks, but a friend of mine recommended it to me. It's about dreaming and praying big and bold dreams and big and bold prayers. And I'm going to be reading that, and he encouraged me to suggest that to you too. So The Circle Maker by Mark Batterson, another great next step. So some different next steps you might take as a result of what we've been talking about this morning. You know, when it comes to God, if we resort to the past, it will restrict what God can and will do through us in the future. And maybe you've had a bad experience of a hope or a dream, or maybe you long for God to do something new, or maybe your faith is a shadow of what it used to be, or maybe you're just exploring faith and you want to know more about it. Trust God. Step out. Start dreaming again. And even better, do it with another group of people. Do it in another context, like Alpha or whatever it is. Because as you do it in the context of community, God will do something. Because God has always known that life is better connected. Let's pray together, shall we? Heavenly Father, it must make you smile when human beings discover things that you've always known. It must make you smile when somebody like Howard Schultz tells the Starbucks story and it comes across as this genius idea that's fueled this massive business expansion, and it's been your idea all along. Lord God, we thank you that we can have some fun learning from the story of Starbucks, but much more important, we can push into learning from you. And so, Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd help us to respond to the challenge. I pray you'd seal in our hearts now whatever the next step is that's resonated with us this morning. Lord, I want to pray for any of us who've had our dreams crushed in the past. Just release us from the pain of that. And don't let it restrict us into stepping into what you may have in the future. And Lord, I pray that perhaps where we've dreamt in the past and it hasn't become a reality and we thought it's been a failure, or we've kind of gone, oh, I'm not ever going to do that again because it just didn't work. I pray, Lord God, perhaps you would just bring to our minds now something that you did in that we never imagined or even thought that you did. But actually you did something. And it wasn't what we were expecting, but you did it. And maybe we can see it today for the first time. So Lord God, lead us and guide us, I pray. And I just want to pray for us as a church as well, that our dreams for doing better with connecting people into community would become a reality. That you'd just help us and guide us as we try to lead into that. You'd help us and guide us with the ideas that we've got for that. And just turn them into a reality, we pray. Because, you know, we long to be a church that has arms open wide to reach out to those far from you, but we long to be a church that takes people deeper into relationship with you and into community with one another. So help us in that, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.